Gold Squared, good evening to our listeners. We are pleased to welcome you to Métis Voices Radio, our own internet radio program. At BBS Radio, every Friday evening, 7:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Station 2, with your host, Dale Haggerty, live from the Machif Métis Museum in beautiful Vavenby, B.C., Canada. Our program features a variety of special guests each week talking about Métis history, family life, and values, sharing recipes, hunting tips, music, dancing, and much more. Call-in lines are open as well as a chat feature for your questions and comments. Here are the numbers to call. Get your pencil and paper. In the U.S. and Canada, toll-free 888-228-4494. And worldwide, toll-free 877-489-6350. For direct lines, go to www.bbsradio.com, BBS Station 2 on the right-hand side. Those who wish to enter the BBS Live chat rooms, you now need to access it by the home page of the BBS Radio on the left-hand side. Scroll down, click into How to Listen, then scroll down to Chat Live, BBS My Chat Room. Click in, choose the drop-down menu, select the chat room, Chatter Hall. Sign in if already registered or register if not. And now, here's our host, Dale Haggerty.
Welcome, everyone. And the Machif language, bonsoir. Good evening. Tonight I have the privilege to introduce to you as my guest and good friend and Métis brother, Claude Aubin. Welcome to our show, Claude.
Hey. Thank you.
So, Claude.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us a little bit about where you grew up and your family life and while you were growing up?
Avant, je vais vous dire que j'ai des petites manies que je voudrais dire mon oncle et les cousins qui sont du Manitoba puis qui sont de la Saskatchewan puis qui sont de toute la Colombie-Britannique. Je voudrais tout vous dire bonsoir. Well, pour vous dire, it's true. Il faut que je parle en anglais. I have to speak in English. That's right. I don't speak Machif on the radio, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
that's okay. That's the thing is, I was speaking to you in Machif. I was just saying bonjour à tous les mononcles, les cousins, the uncles, the cousins, and the relatives from the West, from Manitoba, Saskatchewan, British Columbia, and all on this great land. Well, where do we start with this question? It's a pretty broad one. When I was a young man, I was born in northern Quebec. It's called Chicoutimi in Quebec. My father was a bushman, so he worked in a company, wood company there. So that's why I was basically brought over there. And slowly, I moved to Quebec, the surrounding of Quebec. But I didn't stay very long there because as I was a young Métis, I was placed in a convent, like a residential school, because some of us was selected to maybe to go for priesthood, a few of us. So that's what happened. So I spent 12 years there when I was a young guy in residential school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I never realized that. Yeah, because my mom has also spent a little bit of time in residential school. A matter of fact, I'm we're just dealing with it now. So
Go ahead.
It sounds interesting already.
Okay, so the thing is that We could talk about all kinds of subject tonight, you know, like I hope the people will jump in and ask questions as it's going to go, and we can go, because it's kind of hard to just take it from there. But the thing is that, like what I could talk about to you is about the Métis in the East in relation to me. What do you think of that?
Yes, that's
you know, because a lot of the people,
this is what we want to hear. We want to
know because
that
a lot of the people don't know the story of the Métis of the East. Basically, everybody knows the story of the Métis of the Red River settlements, you know, and the Western Métis. But there's a beautiful story that goes with the Métis of the East, and I think that if you would allow me not only to focus on me, but just to focus on our own history, that it might be very helpful for the people to better understand who they are in the West and how things has all started, you know. Like the thing is that the Métis thing started way before the coming of the European in the East. For some people might not know that, but even before the coming of the Europeans, there was already métissage, you know. And the first métissage started with the Vikings people. And the First Nation here had stories about that, and they even have a name for those people. You see, you had the Passamaquoddy, the Mi'kmaq, the Maliseet, and all the eastern tribes, like the Beothuk, they were in contact with these people. And a lot of the people don't realize that how important it is, part of our history in the East, and how it brought into light this Métis issue in later times, in contemporary time. Because when you start coming into the 16th and 17th century, it's contemporary time of Métis already. And the interesting thing is that there was a name, and the name that was used by those nations at the time to call those people of mixed ancestry, you know, with these blue eyes already and blonde hair, even before the coming of the Europeans, they used to call them Bemdiniks, which means Vikings among you. And that's basically where I'm tied up to that story, you see. So that's why, only to start about me as a young boy, I have to go a little bit before so people can better understand who we are as Métis in the East and what we became. And the thing is that many of those people at the time, they were integrated to the First Nation. There was no such a distinction between the Mi'kmaq or the Métis, the métissage at the time. I probably didn't have that term anyway. And they were integrated to the communities. So they all lived together. There was no distinction at the time. But as the Europeans started to come, that's when there's a different turn of the whole story started. So within my family, like my family is called Aubin, Saint-Aubin, and there's also other words like spelled differently. There's like if it's the British that writes the name, it's O-B-I-N. If it's in French, it's A-U-B-I-N. And if it's the First Nation, it's going to be Zenobé, you see, and also Bear. So they're all the same. So as the whole story started, as you can see, those beautiful boats coming in, you know, like first of all, the First Nation people found all those people almost dying on the Saint Lawrence River and on the beaches of Maine, now called Maine and Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. And they took care of them, and they nurtured them, and they were people from France. And these people, slowly, as they arrived, of course, they were mainly men. So they slowly intermarried with Passamaquoddy woman, Penobscot woman. But the interesting thing, like in the writing time, like 1700, 1600, they started to write things, Dale. You know that, right? So basically, it is well written and well documented at the time is that when these gentlemen start taking First Nation women into marriage, many of them were already blonde with blue eyes, but very strong First Nation profiles, you know. So So it's quite interesting to see that these things were happening then. So that's how basically the métissage started over there. And the métissage at the time was pretty integrated, but in 1600 and 1700. But when the 1700s started, slowly there was already communities that developed, right? French community and the First Nation community were already there. And the thing is that many of them started to reject the mixed marriage at the time, that were mixed with Acadian stock and French stock or British stock or English stock or Dutch stock. But basically, you know, they were put aside. So through the history that you see in the writings, that you'll see that many of the people, what happened is that they started to create their own communities. And by creating their own communities, they started to create their own philosophy, their own perception, their own way of looking at things. So far, so good, Dale?
Oh, yes, very interesting, very, very interesting. But I've always had that theory in my mind. I knew that, the Métis people, you know, I know that there was a nation that was created in Red River, but there was Métis people way before the Red River.
So. Oh, but of course. I mean, a history, a story have a beginning. You cannot start a story from the middle. It's impossible. And the thing is that if you really start grasping the history of the Métis, you know, like the thing is, we have different names though in the East, like the Penobscot, Maliseet, and them used to call us the Malouidit. You know, Malouidit means that you were already mixed blood, you see, and were separate. But when you see in the writings, you already see that many of them were supporting First Nation in wars against the British or the French. But the thing is that what a lot of people don't understand is that it's the way the alliance were made in the East, you know, even before the Red River started to come into place. There's a prophecy indeed. There's a big prophecy. We call it the Kondiaronk prophecy. And that prophecy is basically the beginning of the true story of the Métis. It's the starting of the real understanding of who the Métis people are. And Kondiaronk was a Wendat from the Pitta Nation. He was a political genius that didn't like to see his people dying. He didn't like to see people being divided. And what he wanted to do, he wanted to make some kind of a peace, because First Nation had a way to make peace with their enemy, is that through matrimonial issues. So what is called mixed marriage. At the time, they were probably doing it mixed marriage amongst themselves, but as the French and the other nations start to coming in and the disease and everything, they start to realize that they had to find a way to strengthen themselves and also to build alliance. So what a nice way to resolve a war conflict if you start using basically matrimonial issues. So if my children marry their children and their children marry my children, they become my relatives, and I don't want to start fighting them. But that was the beginning of it. It's called the great La Grande Paix de Montréal, the Great Peace of Montreal in 1701. That's when Kondiaronk tried to seal a Franco alliance, you know, with the French to try to avoid this conflict of war. And that's when it started. And that's why the Métis in the East, we recognize that this treaty was the beginning when the speeches that were given, and well-known speeches by many of the chiefs, also Leblanc, which was the Métis guy there, that expressed very clearly, you know, like their way of looking and expressing what would happen and the way it would set the relation amongst the people. But that's how it started. So it became allowed. But the thing is, reality is that, you know what it is that when you have materialistic values that takes over different kinds of values, then what happened is that the people wants to control people, and then the people started to divide people and push people aside. So that's how the Métis had to organize themselves as distinct people, separate from the First Nation and the French. So that's the way we looked at it in the East. So, and all our people here, you know, like within my ancestry, you see, they were tied up to very strong family clan also. So, and many of those clan became what you guys call in the West the voyageur. You know, like those voyageurs didn't come from Timbuktu; they came from someplace, and they have to start from the bottom of the river. And I think the river started in Quebec, isn't it? And Acadia, and it didn't start it in Manitoba. You see, it started here, and many of those family, like the Gariepi, the Riel, the Dumont, the No, all those families were already impregnated Métis family here. They were not French family. They were des Méchifs. C'était des Métis, ça, c'est ça, gagne-là. Quand tu connais l'histoire, c'est comme ça que tu peux comprendre, là, tu sais. Fait que c'est ça l'affaire. You see, you have to understand that it started here. It was already there. And of course, those Métis took other native women as they moved westward. And many of them came back in the West, in the East, I mean, you know. So the Riel are from Laval 3, Quebec. The Fontaine come from Saint-Ours. The Gariepi come from Terrebonne. You know, like, we know those families. We all know them all. And those families are also the same family that are part of the Métis Nation in Quebec, you see. So that's why it's, and we still speak very strongly this Méchif language, you know. So, That's why this story is so important to people to know that the Métis philosophy, the Métis way of looking of life is started way in the East. You know, it's just like when you look at the Saches, the Ceinture Fléchée de l'Assomption, it didn't come from Manitoba. It came from the East. It came from the Métis of the East. And many of the other things too, you know, the canoe came from the East. It didn't came from the West, you know, this big canoe. And the voyageur came from here, you know. It was not voyageur from the West coming East. Anyway, so what else we could talk about, Dale?
Well, this is one of the questions that, you know, that I think that the problem with is you hit it right on the nail there with this big sludgehammer. I honestly think it's how our nation right now is being divided, and it's divided by the greed of the money, and this is why isn't Quebec part of the Métis Council? I mean, there's
okay, I don't think it's divided by necessarily by money, Dale. I think it's divided by ignorance of who we are, the true history of who we are as people. Like the thing is that you wouldn't believe how strong the Métis culture that of the Métis people, not anybody that have in his genealogy a great 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 grandmother. I'm talking about people that are Métis from birth, and they didn't become Métis. They are Métis. They sweat Métis. They have this continuity, this cultural continuity. And a lot of people think that we're about 750,000 or 3 million in Quebec because apparently everybody is Métis. That's not true. We're only in the Métis Nation in Quebec. We're only 2,500 people that are convinced that we have an identity as a nation of people, and we are tied up with these Métis of the West. You see, we really strongly believe in that. You see, the thing is that what sometimes, and I'm saying that without hurting any feelings, but reality is that us in the Quebec Métis, when we look at the Western Métis, we call the Métis organization, they don't even speak the Méchif language, you know, so, and they're telling us we're not Méchif. And that's it hurts so much, is that many of the Méchif of the West are assimilated to the English language. And the thing is that many others also are tied up with the country born, which is called the halfbreed, the one that are English stock. So the French connection, they don't have it. They have the English connection. So it's hard for them also to understand. In the East, sometimes we say that the Métis movement is hijacked by the country born and the half-breed, and the language, the Michif language, the French language, is not there anymore. The presence is not there anymore. And the thing is that they tied up their history to themselves, and they stopped to the Red River settlement, you know. But the Michif, the Métis, it started way down in the east a long time ago, you know, with the coming of the first Europeans. That's how it all started. I mean, to think that it started in the west is not necessarily true. The Riel's philosophy was to be inclusive, not to be exclusive. And Riel started this new province in Manitoba to sort of for all the people, all the Métis to come so we could have land. And believe me, it was not English that they were using at the time. And they were not using that Cree Michif necessarily. They were using the old French, you see. And that's why the government of Canada tried to stop it, not only because of the Michif rebellion, but because they were damn worried. I'm sorry to say this way, but to strengthen this issue is that they were so scared that a new French province takes place that and also called and organized by the Michif, that it would have become like a Michif country. They stop it with immigration and the story we know. You see, we know the story. So if I come back to the east, the thing is that we've been there. We're always there. And the thing is that we made big mistakes in the east, though, politically, is that we weren't included with non-status organization and off-reserve organization. But one day we started to realize that we were just used as tokenism, and that's enough, and we wanted to organize ourselves as Métis, as a nation of people. So basically, you know, like in terms of politics and in terms of things, it's sometimes ignorance of our own people in Quebec, you know, at a certain time, and now we're trying to stress to open this box of history. And the people start looking really at who the Métis people are from across Canada, you see. So the thing is that I don't think the Métis of the West from the Métis National Council should be worried about us. They should be so happy to see us coming. We wouldn't strengthen the language. We could bring another perception to the whole issue of the Métis culture. We could explain the sashes. We could explain many things. The music, it comes, we have so much music that comes from us here in the East, and you just cannot deny us that recognition that we are at the beginning of this philosophy, the Métis philosophy, the Métis music, the sashes, the way of dressing, the way of visioning things, you know. We're part of it. Even if people try to deny it to us, one day will happen where they have no choice. If they want to look at themselves or who they are and to recognize who they are as Métis people in the West, to recognize the Métis of the East. Isn't that enough? Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, it sure is. This is why you know, I wanted you to come on because, you know, I think I believe in your philosophy and I believe this is what people in the West should understand. And mm-hmm. We have too many ignorant people that are just not interested. They just do not, they don't even know their own history, and yet they call themselves nationalists. And this is the worst thing we can call ourselves, is being nationalists. You don't even
like the thing is that you see, when we started to if people were starting to look at us, they would realize that the connection, you know, the Métis connection is there. It's the same things, the same families, the same aspiration, same desire, and same survival. And we play the same role. It doesn't matter where you are across Canada, we always play that role as mediators, as bon vivant. And the thing is that a lot of people that would like us to be a French when we're not French, or to be First Nation, and. And the thing is that we had suffered also in the East. Like at times, Dale, we had no choice that to find a recognition as a native person, we had to go the Indian route. You see, And that's where it's, I could tell you a story that is related to me, and it will help people to better understand what sometimes we have to go through in the East, you see? Like my relatives on my father's side, you know, like my grandfather and my great-grandfather, they were Mauseet, you see? And on my grandmother's side, they were Huron-Wendats, you see? But Métis, you see? So now I'll explain you and make the people understand what it means to have to go through the process of being an Indian if you want to be recognized as a native person. But I can tell you, you're talking to the first Métis that reached the level of being a chief of a First Nation in Quebec, you see? And believe me, when I became the chief of that First Nation, with all the hard work that I had to put together to make them understand that, you know, we exist, I learned pretty fast after a certain time that even if I cannot claim to be a Maliseet, I'm not a Maliseet, I'm a Métis. And the thing is, it was so hard to play that, to just to be recognized by the people, by other nations, you know, that I worked so hard to do that. Then I debalanced myself. My grandmother was so upset at me, my grandmother on my mother's side, and she grabbed me and she says, "What are you doing? You're not an Indian, you know, you're not a First Nation, you're a Métis. So what are you doing this?" I said. She said, "And if you want to organize people, why don't you organize us, you, who you are as a Métis?" Man, she would have given me a slap in the forehead, and it would be the same thing. Boy, did she ever make me understand something. And then slowly I realized that I was just not comfortable about it. And then she started to talk to me about my grandfather. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, her father, was named honorary chief at the Wendake, you know, which is a First Nation Huron-Wendat community here in Quebec. And he was, because he could sit on the council, because all these people that live outside the reserve couldn't be included into the communities, and they could not be included in the decision making over there. But they were all relatives, you know, because a lot of the women had lost their First Nation status, and for 2, 3, 4, 5 generation, and a lot of those people, they had imprinted themselves as Métis. And they didn't want to be First Nation people, they were Métis, but they wanted to share their concern with the First Nation, because the only one that would help the Métis was the First Nation. Just looked at the story anywhere on this land, Dale, and you'll see where you see a First Nation, there's a Métis community not too far, you know? So it is like that in the East too. And just imagine, you see, like, to do that is very humiliating in a certain way, but I learned my lesson, you know, and even if I worked for executive director for organization like the Native Alliance of Quebec, which is an association that used to bring together all Métis and non-status until the C-31 issue came in, eventually we realized that we had to organize as a nation of people in Quebec, and that's what we did in 1990. So me and others, we decided to do that in order to stop playing and with the game, you know. This is not a game, so to play with the issue, I mean. And we decided that's enough, you know. And I cannot blame the MNC not to recognize the Métis in Quebec. They were not organizing themselves as a distinct Métis, you see. Now we're doing that, and I think we deserve our place in this huge confederacy of Métis, and to limit it only to the western provinces, it hurts. It really hurts, you know, like, moi, quand j'étais allé, puis l'histoire, puis je connais l'histoire des gens de Saint-Laurent, là, and when I talked to them when I was living in Manitoba, they recognize us as Métis over here, but it seems sometimes that political organizations have a hard time to do that. And I think we have to come, and we have to talk about it. I mean, Monsieur Chartier will have to talk about it, and Monsieur Robert Doucette in Saskatchewan, and Monsieur Dumont in British Columbia, and Tony Belcourt in Ontario. They're going to have to understand that the Métis of Quebec is part of that Métis nation. And gosh, I believe in it. And I think we might succeed to do it with time. What do you think, Dale?
I think so, too. You know, I hate to tell you this, though, but I think our British Columbia political organization has just pulled the plug on the Métis Council. I don't think we're members of the Métis Council of Canada anymore, because I think Bruce Dumont and has pulled the plug from us, and so now maybe they will. Now that British Columbia is not part of the MNC, maybe they'll allow Quebec to come back in. So who knows? You never know, eh?
That's a new story for me. I didn't know that this is what's happening. But the thing is that we have to come back to this issue that we have to be nation builders, you know? And a nation is built with the people, by the people and for the people, isn't it? And the thing is that in vision of the real vision was to embrace all the Métis people in Canada, not just a selective few. He wanted to make sure that all the Métis that identify to Métis and ready to fight for their identity as Métis will join together. But I know that there's sometimes this issue of being Métis can be abused by some people just for benefit or for money benefit, and it's more, or hunting rights, or you know that. So being Métis is a lot more than that to us, you know. And I find sad that maybe that, you know, like without knowing and understanding the political reason why Monsieur Dumont that you just spoke about with the Métis of British Columbia pulling out, well, I didn't know about that. So the thing is, I find that sad, because there's a way that we could find great solution to unify ourselves rather than to divide ourselves. And, you know, we've been divided. A lot of people love this division to conquer. And I think that the Métis Nation is one of the most beautiful nation, that it's the nation of the future, you know. And First Nation people knows that, too, that that we can stand tall if we want to, and we can build and do beautiful things, you know. But the thing is, it's the will of power of our own people that will succeed to do it, not just few. And the thing is that I think the leadership across Canada, being MNC or outside MNC, will have to understand that a nation is the people, and you have to trust and empower the people to this issue anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm pushing too much, but...
No, I agree there. I think, you know, I can give you an example. Like, you know, my great-grandfather, his name is Isidore Villeneuve, it was his father's. They came directly from Quebec. They came because most of my relatives were all from Quebec, and then they came to the west. But they didn't come to Red River. They ended up in Fort Edmonton, and then they started the communities there. They were part of French families or Métis families already starting communities in St. Albert's and all these areas, and then eventually, you know, my ancestral tree of he didn't stay in Alberta, so I mean, he went, and he's the one that, you know, went to Red River and in Manitoba and married his wife, and we got involved. They got married, and he married a Henry or a Henri, and of course, mm-hmm. you know, all this ancestral stuff is all coming right back, and they all end up in my ancestral mm-hmm. tree. They're all from Quebec, you know. So mm-hmm. how can they say that they're not Métis when they're already Métis and they're already in Quebec? So this is where mm-hmm. I can actually show my whole tree, and mm-hmm. 90% of those people all ended up are all started in the 1600s from Quebec.
But
so,
you see, Dale, this story is repeated all the time. Like I'll say something. I met my wife in New Brunswick, but my wife is from Saskatchewan. She's a Cree, from the Cree Nation. So just to show you that Métis married Métis, but Métis remarried within First Nation again. See, it's the whole process starts all over again. You see what I mean? So the thing is that what do I tell my children and my grandchildren? And I even went westward, you know, with my wife. And we stay in Manitoba for years, you know, and I've got a lot of relatives. She's got relatives there. I've got relatives. I've got nephews, and I've got, what's the girl in English? Nephews and...
Nieces.
Nieces over there, you see? And the thing is, they are the cousins and of my children. And those people are the uncles and aunts of my children. Then I come back home. Some of them are First Nations. Some of them are Métis. And how can you disconnect this issue? It's just like starting all over again, isn't it? So what do I tell my children? You decide who you want to be. So my wife is a status Indian, so I didn't register my children. My children decided to be who they wanted to be. One chooses to be First Nation, the other one chooses to be Métis. That's their choices, isn't it? I cannot impose this thing. And I've got grandchildren, and what do I call them? And then the whole thing starts all over again. And people will say, no, 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 they're married to First Nation people. They are Indians. No, why would they be First Nation if that's not what they want to be? They have to be who they feel to be. And if to be means to be Métis, they're Métis. The same thing when it started years and years and years ago. It's starting all over again, you see. So this story of movement east-west is always going on, Dale. It will never, never stop because a Métis, there's big chances a Métis will marry a First Nation woman, and a Métis, or a Métis woman will marry a First Nation man. And it also happened that a Métis will marry a Métis. It will happen also that a Métis of the East will marry a Métis of the West, or vice versa. It always goes. Why? Because we think the same. You know, we have, our philosophy is there, you know. What can I say? It's a reality. The reality that a lot of people thinks that it's only under the convention of an Indian Act or a convention of a Métis National Council that it will decide who's who and who's not. And I don't think that's fully this. Or the court will decide through the Pauley case who's Métis and not Métis coming from a historical historical community. What this is all about, reality is that there's a Métis born every day. And are we going to slot this Métis? Oh, you are from a historic community. That's fine. You're a Métis. Oh, no, 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 because you don't fall within this category. You're not a Métis. Hey, being a Métis is a lot more than that. It's history. It's in you. It's part of you. You know, it's a day-to-day life. You see, it's the same thing like First Nation do their day-to-day life. Métis does it, you know, and Métis are having a good time like everybody else and wants to have a good time like everybody else and wants to be recognized like everybody else. And the thing is that there's too much politics in the identity of Métis. Not enough heart, you know, like the heart. And that's what it's all about anyway. So, because when you play the music and you play the fiddler when it started, it grabs your heart. And the thing is that the others, when you play the drums, it grabs their heart. Oh, I can say sometimes many Métis, the drums will grab their heart too. And many First Nation people, when you play the fiddle, it grabs their heart too. But that's what is part of who we are as people. Anyway, I talk too much, Dale.
No, you don't. You really don't. But you have outside of being a very well activist, I agree that, you know, one day maybe we will bring our Métis people across this country together and stay instead of, you know, that instead of saying, well, it's just the Western provinces, why don't we just include the whole country. I mean,
yeah, but
this is what the whole thing is about.
So whoever is from the West there, and think about it. Think about who you are and where you come from. And you'll see that it's so simple to realize that there's a beginning of this history. There's a beginning of this Métis issue, you know, and it's from coast to coast right now, and it's extended to the United States too. And the thing is that, like, we're not there to take the place of First Nation. Gosh, no, we're not there to take the place of nobody. We're not there to take the land of First Nation. We're Métis. We always made reasonable accommodation with First Nation. They let us stay on their land, and that's still what it is. You see, like, me as a Métis, I don't want to claim anybody's land, not even First Nation land. I recognize the jurisdiction of the First Nation in Canada on their land. You know, that's theirs. And the thing is that, like before, they always let us live and accommodate the Métis to live close by. And that always been like that. And everything was fine. And in the East, that's, we feel very strong about that. Like, we don't want to make claim in the province of Quebec. Métis people, the true Métis people, don't want to make claim that belongs to First Nation. They don't want to interfere with claim and nation building of First Nation. We just want to negotiate with them and the government, you know, accommodation, so we can continue our traditional occupation and to give us recognition. That's all we ask for. You know, we're not asking for the moon. The moon is out of reach anyway. So we're asking for who we were and who we are and what we want to retain and what we became, you see. So, yes, I've been an activist in the Métis movement for years and years, over 30 years if I can say, yeah. But now I'm getting old, and the young people are taking over on the political side, and I try to focus more on what I cherish the most, is to try to project who the Métis people are spiritually, you see. So this is a tough one, but I think we have the rights to be something, because, you know, like, when you looked at it, Dale, maybe we should touch that a little bit. We have a few minutes left for that, right? And to look that, you know, like, I see myself sometimes as a spiritual average, so to speak, you know, and a lot of the people talk about the four races of the world, you know, and gosh, do I feel uncomfortable about these four races of the world. Very ethnocentric view of just like it's only the pure people that can keep doors. But I, if that's the way it is, then let's put the Métis in the center of the wheels, you know, so we're interconnected with, we interconnect everybody, you see. So others says that there's other colors, but I don't want to deal with colors as such. I just want to deal as with people. And when I see myself as a spiritual being, I see myself as being part of this universe, and I really believe there's only one color of people, which is the light people. Light in terms of light, you know, like L-I-G-H-T, you know, light, not light, heavy or light. But anyway, I really believe also, Dale, that we could see ourselves as the link or between the spirituality of all the races of the people. You know, we're just like living treaties, you know, like First Nation, we're making treaties with the Europeans, but we're living treaties, sealing DNA. We're just like parchments, you know, like they can look at us and we're typical what the treaty is all about, spiritually and physically. And all these things, I think, Dale, that allowed us to create our and establish our own spirituality, and to, and many of that can see ourselves as a bridge, you know, between nations, you know, and between the nation that conceives us. So those nation have to look at us as who we are and what we became. And the reality is that over the years, like I said earlier, we developed our own culture and our own philosophy, you know, and our unique lifestyle, because we're different in a sense, and we sometimes think very differently. And reconciliation is the things that we really believed in, you know. And the thing is that, like I said, you see, like when I lost my balance, when I became a First Nation chief, is because as a Métis, I was not a Maliseet, I was a Métis. And the thing is that's the same thing when we do ceremonies, you know. Many of us that have the ability to do certain ceremonies, when we walk into ceremonies, I just cannot call upon my First Nation ancestors. I have to call upon my French and Irish ancestors. I have no choice because I cannot leave them behind. I am who I am, and spiritually I have to call them all, you know. So a lot of the people will say that we are the part of the creation story, you know. And I really believe that if the creator, you know, I'd give, or the life force, I'd give the responsibilities to others, why can Métis have responsibility too, isn't it? We're part of this world, right? We're part of this this whole thing. And like a lot of the people will say, oh, we're the people from the rainbow. Well, this sometimes some people try to push it a little bit too far. But what basically they mean, we should say we're part of this whole thing, the whole universe, you know. Let's put the rainbow on the side and let's look at the reality of all the people put together. And let's not identify it to a name so specific, you know. But the thing is, that means that if we are the people with all colors, I mean, maybe we've got them all, these colors, you see. So, I don't know. Like, the thing is that if people would try to stop looking at us with ethnocentric view and respect us and to see us and accept and recognize that we're different from First Nation and the other people of the universe, including, if we talk about the Aboriginal people, the Inuit, maybe it's time that many of us start walking the talk, eh? So if we want to talk the talk of the teaching, and if we're all part of this great learning, I think it's time that we do not overlook that the Métis are part of this circle, you know, circle of spiritual circle and the spirit circle of life.
Yeah.
Anyway, a lot of words,
now,
right?
First of all, I like to say that Dale said to me here on the side, she said, Claude, stop reading her mind, because she says we're the bridge, which is we're the bridge for the universe, and that's what we are. We are a bridge. And of course, Dale, out of this, well, you were saying it, and she says, you know, he's reading my mind. He's reading my mind. So, so speaking of this, you know, on a spiritual note here, my wife and I, Dale, of course, you know, we had two experiences with you in the Star Lodge ceremony, and and that led to a changed life to both of us, and and so what we want to know is, are you going to be continuing doing these future goals and projects there?
Well, I always do the ceremony when the people ask. The thing is that, like you remember, I always told the people, you know, in order to participate in the ceremonies, you have to be committed. You have to commit yourself fully. You know, there's no people watching it. You have to be a participant. You have to prepare for it. And the issue is not to do it in quantity, but try to really focus on why you want to do the ceremony. So I always say that to the people. In the East right now, like, we're planning, the Mi'kmaq are planning in Big Cove, New Brunswick, are planning to have five shaking tents to be happening in the same time. in September, from the 9th to the 16th, there'll be teachings. And the thing is that why they want to do that is because we want to address at the shaking tent the needs of the people, but we also want to address a very important question that deal with what's happening right now. And the time, you know, like a lot of the people are asking a lot of questions of where we're leading at with this year 2012 and the end of the Aztec calendar, you know, so Mayan calendar. So what is coming is that there's some reality that there's some people tend to put aside, you see. And the thing is that the Earth is getting pretty annoyed with what we're doing, you know. And the universe is also really focused to look at what's happening. So this unbalance is not only amongst the people, but it's among the elements of the Earth. And if people think that the Earth is not a living thing, well, they're going to learn pretty soon that it is a living thing. And the Earth is like anything else. When it needs to rebalance itself, it will. And the thing is, if the people are not prepared to what's to come, they better try to understand and try to focus to try to understand why we're doing sometimes certain ceremonies, why some people are asked to collect seeds, why others are asked to better understand the ceremonies, you know. And the Star Lodge is one aspect to get to the teaching of things. And, you know, Dale, like, it's hard to speak about these things, but if people want to know what the Star Lodge or the Turtle Lodge and what we do with the Wampum Belts, they can go and on the Internet. And in 1993, there was documented ceremonies that we did when we brought Wampum Belts from the museum into the ceremonies down here in the East. And you just have to go into in the Internet and put Wampum Belts and put beside it the McCord Museum. And you'll see a very interesting article that was written from somebody that participated in that ceremony. So your people will understand, the people that are listening right now, what the Star Lodge is all about, you see. Huh?
Hello? And yes. We got a call.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Go ahead. Seth, we got a call.
No,
yes,
maybe.
Okay, they dropped. Okay. Okay, I think, Claude, it's coming to a well end of the program here. We're
yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. We're on our way out. Well, Claude, I'd like to thank you very much for being our guest on Métis Voices Radio program. Can we have you back and maybe in some of the future to talk about more about some of the culture about in Quebec and stuff?
Yes, there's no problem. I knew that we had to clear the air on this connection amongst all ourselves, maybe socially and politically, but it would be very interesting to talk about the cultural aspect of it and to go into detail of that and the spiritual component of who we are as Métis people. Sure, it will be a pleasure for me to share that. You know,
yes, mm-hmm. That would be really good. Well, mm-hmm. We really enjoyed our visit with you, and it's a mm-hmm. privilege and an honor, my brother.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Au revoir. Salut.
Hello. Yeah, there you go. Salut.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in, our directors and sponsors of the BBS radio station, for allowing us to present this program to you each week. A special announcement reminding at this time there will be a memorial jam session for Patty Mayo at the Langley Legion Hall, BC, Canada, on June 22nd, 2008. Beginning at 3 p.m. Sorry, was there somebody on the line? be sure to give us back your feedback about Métis Voices Radio Show on the BBS radio web page. On the left.
Hello, Dale.
Oh, hello. Is that you? On the left, under the send feedback. Next week, May 30th, we look forward to having our guest, another good friend and Métis brother, Marshall Lowen, the captain of the hunt. Please tune in next week, same time, starting 7:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Have a good week. Take care. Until then, merci.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.